From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. President Obama says the determination by a panel of economists that the recession in the U.S. ended last summer does not soften the impact of the nation's shaky economy on millions of Americans, especially the unemployed and those who are losing their homes to foreclosure. In a town hall-style meeting sponsored by financial cable network CNBC, the president was asked by a 30-year-old law school graduate if the American dream is dead.
Absolutely not. Look, we still have the best universities in the world. We've got the most dynamic private sector in the world. We've got the most productive workers in the world. There is not a country in the world that would not want to change places with us.
Federal Reserve policymakers consider what more they can do to bolster the U.S. economy as they meet in Washington today. NPR's Wendy Kaufman says the Fed's Open Market Committee may be considering taking some additional steps.
As one analyst put it, lowering long-term interest rates is about the only weapon the Federal Reserve has left to help jumpstart economic growth. And there's speculation that in an effort to lower those rates, the Fed may announce a plan to buy more Treasury notes. Yesterday, the Fed bought more than $5 billion in treasuries, continuing its small-scale purchases. The question that will be answered this afternoon is whether the Fed will make large-scale buys like it did last year when it spent $300 billion on treasuries. While some Fed watchers think the central bank might move in that direction, others say the economy isn't weak enough to warrant such a step. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News.
Federal regulators say a five-month crackdown on coal mines in the U.S. has exposed persistent safety problems. NPR's Howard Berkus reports the crackdown followed the deadly mine disaster last April that killed 29 mine workers in West Virginia.
Inspectors from the Federal Mine Safety and Health Administration targeted more than 100 coal and other mines, sometimes seizing phone systems to keep mine workers on the surface from warning miners underground. The inspections began shortly after the explosion at the Upper Big Branch mine in West Virginia and continued through last month. The mines involved were cited more than 2,600 times. Close to half the safety violations were considered significant and substantial. Workers were ordered out of unsafe areas close to 200 times. One mine was shut down. The inspection blitz is the agency's response to a backlog of 16,000 citation appeals filed by mining companies. The appeals stalled tougher regulation and forced shutdowns. Howard Berkus, NPR News.
Nine troops from the NATO-led force in Afghanistan are dead after a helicopter crashed in the southern part of that country. NATO says there were no reports of enemy fire at the time. The Senate today considers whether to repeal the ban on gays serving openly in the military. The proposed repeal attached to a military spending bill. This is NPR News. A newspaper in the border city of Juarez, Mexico, that has asked drug cartels for a truce after one of its photographers was killed, is denying reports it will stop covering stories about the drug trade. James Bleers says a spokesman for Mexico's president is saying no sector of society should be negotiating with criminals.
In a Sunday front page editorial, El Diario de Juarez appeared to be trying to bargain with the cartels, pleading, "What do you want from us?" But now deputy editor Pedro Torres is denying this was a line of appeasement. Rather, he's explaining that this sort of reporting will continue, but it'll be done more prudently and there'll be less journalistic probing. Last Thursday, two Diario photographers were shot by cartel gunmen. One died, while the other remains in critical condition. 2 years ago, a Diario crime reporter was shot dead while taking his children to school. That killing remains unsolved. For NPR News, I'm James Bleers in Mexico City.
Members of a Food and Drug Administration advisory panel considering whether genetically engineered salmon should be approved for sale in the U.S. are indicating the salmon would probably be safe to eat, but they're also pointing to gaps in the studies that back up that conclusion. The salmon contain an extra growth hormone gene that allows them to grow twice as fast as other fish. Ron Stottish is CEO of the firm that developed the genetically altered salmon.
We can have a sustainable source of high-quality seafood protein closer to populations and in essence, fresh fish closer to the cities where the fish are consumed.
FDA hearings on the matter continue today, and several consumer groups are expected to argue for more detailed labeling of genetically altered fish. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News.